countdown.
Blog Talk Radio.
I am so
happy to have this guest on the show today, Mr. Songwriter, singer, and activist, Mr. Kipper Jones. Say hello, Mr. Kipper Jones.
Woo-hoo! What's up, people? Hey, Jay.
And that single right there was I Want You, that is featured. Is actually a Marvin Gaye remake that is available on all digital outlets. And Kipper, you wanted me to, pretty much you want to say what the surprise is tomorrow.
So what we did, man, with this single, because it's such a dance record, and it is the predecessor to four more, which are going to be part of the whole dance music EP called Trip to Soul Fantastic. Yeah. So what we did is we issued a remix challenge. We kind of sent it out to DJs and remixers and asked everybody, you know, to kind of do their thing
right.
to it. You know, and we got, we got a nice response, but we actually have a winner. And so today is actually the day that we announce the winner of the I Want You Remix Challenge. Yeah, and that is, drum roll please. is Terrence Toy and Ill Atmospheric Seeks Refuge, and the remix will be available beginning tomorrow at the website at kipperjones.com. And we're gonna have it
congratulations, Troy. Congratulations, Troy. And I'm looking forward to hearing more from you. So pretty much I know about your whole career. I don't even have to look at a resume because you played a big soundtrack of my life pretty much in the 80s and 90s. And with your beginnings, I remembered you mainly from the group Tees, you know, the song called Firestarter, which one of my favorite songs off the second LP that you guys did on Epic. That's correct?
Yeah. It was our second album, but it was the first album for Epic. We did two albums for Epic, one in 86, which had Firestarter, and then we did another album in 88. After that, the album was called Remember.
Yes, and that album right there was actually produced by James Entombé, correct?
Yes, sir. You be doing your homework, don't you? Look at you.
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I know all about you. Come on now. And with that album and with the Remember album, did you guys actually do the music or just co-produced on this album, not like the other previous albums that you guys fully did production on?
Well, the album previous, the album with Firestarter, the most of the production and the production was overseen by Stephen Shockley, who was a guitar player at Lakeside, who is currently and forever one of the founders of Lakeside. And so he actually wrote Firestarter. That song we didn't write. He brought that song into us, and we were like, "Oh yeah, we'll definitely do this."
Yeah, that was a cold cut. I remember, you know, growing up in the 80s just listening to it, and I said, these guys, because you guys gave me a replica sound of Lakeside. You guys gave me that feel when I heard you guys, that's actually the album.
Well, I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, and then and the song was, I think it was called Slow Love, I believe.
Soft Music.
Soft Music, yeah, Soft Music, the one that L.A. and Babyface wrote for you guys, yeah.
Yeah, that was one of Babyface's first songs outside of the deal that he actually, because when they played me the demo, I was like, he need to sing this song himself. Why are you getting out of But yeah, man, I was honored to receive it. It was a beautiful piece, man. I still love that song to this day. Yeah, absolutely.
And then also, as I follow through your career, I'm doing the time capsule with you, so you're gonna follow with me.
Okay. All right.
So as I remember that, like the other three members, you guys did Vanessa Williams' debut album. So I want to know how did all that come about?
That was Chucky and Rex and I. Well, I actually got a call from Ed Eckstein, who was at that point the president at Wing Records, which was the Mercury subsidiary label. And he had signed Vanessa over there, and they were looking for songs for her. And he asked me if I had, you know, anything for her, and I was like, oh, absolutely. Well, I didn't, but that don't matter, because it's like by the time I take the meeting, I'm going to have something. So I put together this little thing, and during those days, man, I was just over the moon with Jody Watley. I mean, Jody Watley was like my everything. I just loved everything she ever did. So it's like I thought that where I wanted to put Vanessa was like in that lane. You know what I mean? And and so I came up with this song called The Right Stuff. And I took it back to them, and Ed loved it. He said, let's play it for her. We played it for Vanessa, and she was like, oh, my God, I love it. I just don't know if I can do that, because, you know, her background is musical theater.
Exactly.
And, you know, and it's not that, you know, R&B soul kind of thing. It wasn't at that point. And I was like, no, I got you. We're going to go in the studio. You're going to be fine. I'm going to take you through it. And we did, and it worked. And so that's how that came about, with The Right Stuff.
And then that was like top five and then of her career, because I mean, every song on that album to me was at all single worthy, you know. And you know, to her to you go into the second album, which you did a lot of writing on that one, and also a lot of background work when she was touring with the Comfort Zone album, I saw that too, and I was just like, I see this name, Kipper Jones, one more time, and he just taking me there. It's just like when I first heard the Comfort Zone and Running Back to You, and like every song from that album, that like the singles from that that you wrote, like even Two of a Kind and Freedom. Oh my God, I just was like, okay, this is like way out of her element, and I'm glad that she took a chance on you, especially because everything that you did was a good creativity for, you know, her.
Thank you, man. I you know, it's something about when you can like kind of envision an artist and what you see for them.
Exactly.
And they allow you to kind of, you know, go ahead and express your creativity with them in mind. I mean, there's something about that that is just really refreshing, and it really works when they allow you to do that. And that was one thing about her. And one thing I'll say about the relationship that we still have to this day, that she knows I get her, you know what I mean? And so she allows me to just express myself however I kind of see her going, because she knows I'm not going to take her out of her element, you know. And if I do, it's going to be something that's appropriate for her to accomplish, that I think is appropriate for her to accomplish. Because we're actually, you know, gearing up to do some new music soon.
Oh, wow. So, oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I felt through her whole creativity element of her whole career, I think that you were the main person, because it's like every song that you brought out there was real good.
And
I appreciate that, what you did for, because I remember I love me some Vanessa Williams from day one and still do, but it's just like you working with her was a good soundtrack of my life back then, because you know back then we bought albums and we supported artists and we looked at the credits, the liner notes of who, what, when, who worked on the album, and your name was just right there. It just stood out for me, to me, because I said, if this guy works on this new album, I'm gonna be like, okay, you know, and then so long. But I was just like, I'm with it. So.
Yeah,
and
man,
then also the I Wanna Be Down 25. Yes.
Ain't that something? 25
yeah. years, and I'm telling you, I just was fresh out of high school, and I could just describe the whole feeling of it. It was summertime, a new sound, and I said, ooh, these cats worked with some live instrumentation on this album. And then guess whose name I saw on the credits? Mr. So you see, it's like, so I want to know, how did that formula work all together? Because it was under the production team, Human Rhythm, you know, Keith
mm-hmm.
Crouch,
mm-hmm.
Kenneth, and yourself, and Rasad. It was magic. So how did this work all together with Brandy?
It was amazing. What happened, it was interesting because Keith and I think the first thing we did together was for my solo record at Virgin in 1990. The Ordinary Story album.
Right, and I do have that one too. My song was Shockwave.
Of course you do, Mr. Collector. But so what happened was we had done, you know, like I said, a couple of songs on that album. Keith produced a song on that album called Watch Over Me that he actually had Uncle Andre come in with his singers and do all the background vocals. And that still is a high point in my life.
Right.
And then Keith and I did a song which ended up just being a B-side. It wasn't on the album, but we're going to release a 30th anniversary collector's edition of Ordinary Story this year. And it will have.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, and it will have the full version. Yeah, it'll have the full version of The Enemy on that record, which was the song that Keith and I did together.
Wow.
But because we were writing, you know, together then, you know, we just kept writing and creating, for those next few years. But he had played me this track. I went by his house one day and he played me this track, and I was like, you know, I'm coming off of Vanessa's double platinum album, The Comfort Zone. And he played this track and I was like, ooh, man, that's killer. Have you written to it yet? He said, no, go ahead if you want to. I said, okay. So I think me, Kenneth, Rasan, a couple of other girlfriends of ours or whatever, we were all over at Keith's house that day. And I had come up with this hook, you know, I want to be down. And so we had sung this hook, right? And then I kind of took my notebook in the other room and came up with this verse. I would like to get to know if I could be, right? And so when we got done, we were all kind of sitting in the room looking at each other like, this is kind of special.
Right.
And so, you know, you get that look, man. It's just like sometimes it just comes. And so I'm thinking, again, I'm coming off a double platinum record with Vanessa Williams. I'm thinking, oh, my God, if I play this for them, this is going to be 3 million out the box. This is just going to go crazy.
Well, right.
Keith, I don't know if you know Darryl Williams, but he was managing Keith at the time, and he was also an A&R rep at Atlantic, at East West.
Oh, Atlantic, for the Black Music Department.
Uh-huh, under Sylvia Rohn.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had just signed Brandy over there as a solo artist because she was singing with Immature up to that point.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he said, hey, man, you know, we just signed this little girl. I think she would really kill that song. You know, yada, yada.
Uh-huh.
And I was kind of feeling myself because, you know, I'm, I'm coming off of that Platinum album.
Right.
You know, how you going to ask me to have some little girl? Are you kidding me?
Right.
Whatever. But anyway, so Keith was like, no, Kipper, she's really good. You know, you should just let her demo the record. It ain't, you know, what would it hurt? And I'm like, whatever. So she demoed that record, man, and I was like, oh, wee. Well, the hell with me. So, but the cool thing about it was is that, and I didn't tell anybody about it till years later that I wanted that to be for Vanessa, but Vanessa had saved the best for last, and that really kind of took her career into another direction, one that she was much more comfortable with, and you know,
exactly,
that musical theater stuff and everything. So it wasn't a conflict in any sort of way, and you know, and so we did that. I Want to Be Down. They took it. They asked us for another song. Keith came up with the track to Baby. Me and him and Rasan did that.
Ooh, Lord have mercy.
They wanted another song that was a duet for her and Ray J, and they came up with Best Friend, but it ended up just being her at that time. And then they wanted a ballad, and Keith and I came up with Broken Hearted.
Oh,
and
my
then,
God.
And then they wanted one more song to open the album, and then we came up with Moving On, which is the first song on the album. And
ooh,
so we ended up with like 5 songs on the album, and it's, you know, needless to say, it's a classic, you know. And here we are 25 years later.
Right, exactly. And I feel that album was a way ahead of its time due to at the time where a lot of artists wasn't using instrumentation. At the time, and when they went to just drum machines and synthesizers, and with Brandy's album, I heard the horns. I heard so much instrumentation in it. I was looking at the credits like, oh wow, this is wow, because the album to me was a way ahead of its time, to me. You know, because you had the Leah, you had the Monica, and then you had Brandy that came out, and then it was like Brandy just set the tone right there for, you know, I call it youth R&B music, you know, because at the time she was young. And then you guys, the album, just the writing format of the lyric content, it was just age appropriate for her at the time, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting because sonically it was very different than what was really kind of going on the landscape at that point. We're just coming out of the New Jack Swing era.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, and that kind of thing. So sonically, it was totally different. And I've got to give credit to the late Booker T. Jones III for giving that album the sonic difference that it really made. He and Keith and that sound design, man, that was that low end and all of that saturated low end. Was not happening, and that's what made people kind of sit up and take notice. They didn't even know why, but that was why. And Booker had so much to do with that, you know. And so, you know, I not only miss my friend, but I think the world suffered a big loss when we lost him because he was just so just brilliant when it came to that, you know, to engineering and discovering that sound, you know.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, you talked about like the writing and the age appropriate lyrics. You know, it's interesting, man. I was, 32 when that record came out? You know, 32 year old man writing for a 14 year old girl. It's like, you know, it's like, what do I write about? You know, because I think the biggest challenge for me was the ballad. Trying to come up with a theme and a concept and lyrics for Broken Hearted was my greatest challenge in that entire project because, you know, she's so soulful. And so there would have to be something that she really could sink her teeth into that meant something to her. So I'm trying to think, oh, my God, what do 14-year-old girls even talk about that, you know? Well, they fall in love with these little boys and they get their little heart broke. But, you know, how does that pan out in the long run? You get over it, you know. And so I wanted to give her something to address her fan base, which is other 14-year-old girls, you know. So, you know, something to give them, to encourage them. And at the end of the day, I've had people come to me, Jay, and say, hey, man, that song saved my life. That song got me through college. That song stopped me from killing myself.
Right.
That song, I mean, just really just apocalyptic things like that. I mean, it was just interesting that I'm just thinking, you know, what does 14-year-old girls talk about? And then you come up with this message that was really even bigger than that, you know?
Right. And then, like, with your lyrical content, when you write, I can feel that it comes from a personal place, because, like, one of my favorite songs from Deborah Cox's debut album, Sound of My Tears, that's, like, my all-time favorite song by her. I'm serious.
Wow.
Because I said that song stood out for me. And guess who I saw on the credit as the writer? Mr. Kipper Jones.
Oh my God,
this man is like killing me softly with his lyrics. And then I listened to Kenny Lattimore too. And the other song was Joy That Nobody Don't Acknowledge. That's like my all time favorite song off his debut album.
I didn't write Joy. I didn't do that.
I did Never
Too Busy.
Right.
And Always Remember. I Won't Let You Down with Dave Hall.
Oh my God, that's like one of my favorite songs too.
And then Keith and I did
It was the second single off the album. You got me thinking
too.
Oh my God, what is the name of that song? You got me thinking. It's just sad that we know all these. I know the song. It's in my head. It's like really singing in my head right now. I know the song. Because I know he had a video for it. That was a cold cut. Oh, I know. Just What It Takes. Yes, just what it takes.
Yes, sir.
Thank
you.
What a shame. I swear I thought you wrote Joy, because I just was like thinking, like, oh, okay. But guess not.
Yeah, no, I didn't do Joy. I think that might have been Jay Dibbs. I think so. And then, of course, Kenny Larum's epic For You. Which was just brilliant on there. But I did, and it's funny that you talked about Deborah Cox, Sound of My Tears. One of my favorite songwriters ever, of course, in the history of life is Smokey Robinson.
Yeah.
And his Tracks of My Tears is just some of the most brilliant songwriting ever. And that was, I think, me trying to put on my best Smokey Robinson ears.
Well,
you know,
you played it good.
Well, thank you.
Played it good, because I was going through something when that song came out. And I was just like, okay, what is this man trying to do? Like, is he reading my mind or something? Because, I mean, that song, I was so mad that it didn't, you know, get the recognition that it did, because I could tell you every sequence from that album, and then that song right there played a big part of my soundtrack of a 19-year-old, you know. So, you know, it's a lot of music back then. I'd say like 94, 95, that was just soundtracks for me. And like one of them, you did one of my favorite singers of all time, is Chaka Khan, Something Deep. I was so amazed. And I heard that it was actually supposed to be on her debut album a new album that was supposed to be coming out, turning into a greatest hits and four new songs.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it ended up just being the the greatest hits thing, because I think she was leaving the label or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite know what the business was, but as opposed to a whole like new sound album, they just did the greatest hits and included four new songs. So
right.
I'm just glad we made the record, but
yeah. And got a plaque with it too.
She murdered that song.
Oh my God! When I first heard this, and then I said again, "Look who wrote the song, Mr. Kipper Jones." I mean, man, it's just amazing. And also, I want to ask you this: how do you feel about where the music is going today, the format of it? Like, as an artist back then that was selling like multi-platinum albums,
mm-hmm.
how would you feel now, where would they fit in right now in the music today?
Well, I mean, you know, every era has its thing. I'm not at all mad at how things work now. It's just different. I'm never stuck in a mode of, oh man, well, you know, this ain't where it used to be. And I'm not that guy. I will say this though. There was a time when I was pretty disenchanted about the business and where it was going and all
uh-huh.
of that kind of stuff. Now what saved me from that viewpoint is the fact that, you know, I don't know if you know, but I enrolled at Berklee's College of Music online
mm-hmm.
music business
yeah.
degree program. And so learning about, like, the history of changes and shifts in the business, this business has always morphed and changed and shifted. And it's always, oh, well, that's the end of the business. Oh, it's over, it's dead. And then something else happens and it saves it. And something else new comes and it's reinvigorated again. Well, for me right now, Jay, this is the best time ever to be in this business. It's not dead by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
Again, it's just different. And so as opposed to, you know, an artist like back in the day, you used to have a record deal if you were going to be in this business. There was no way you were going to do it yourself. Well, now I wouldn't even want a record deal. The only way to really do it is to do it yourself. But you're going to have to do all the work, though. There's work to be done, and you're going to have to do it. And
uh-huh.
and so that's one thing that's really, really different about how this business works now. But here's the deal. If I sell 50,000 records on my own at $10 a whop, then that's what, $500,000?
Exactly.
Okay, if I sell 50,000 albums at a major label, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to get dropped.
Exactly.
I'm going to get dropped. I'm not going to make – not only am I not going to make anything because everything's recoupable against the advance they probably gave
uh-huh.
I'm going to get dropped because that's not enough records to sustain a major label record deal.
Exactly.
But if I did that on my own, I had a pretty daggum good year. And
right.
that's going to usher me into my next record, which will probably even do more, because between streaming and my live performances, which I'm also getting paid for and not having to give the record company a piece of, because I got a 360 deal if I got a record deal, I'm doing pretty doggone good for myself.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So this, again, it's a great time to be an artist. And if you're going to be willing to do the work and put the time in and all of that kind of stuff, and I'll be the first to tell you, man, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. It's
yeah.
a lot of hard
Trust
work. It takes a lot of time. Yeah. I mean, you know, and you know, you have to have faith and put a good team of people together that you can trust and believe in, that are going to have your best interest at heart. You know, you got to have a great manager or management situation. You got to have
right.
a good attorney. You got to have somebody taking care of all your money stuff, a good business manager, you know, because you don't want to fall into tax trouble and that kind of stuff. So
uh-huh.
you have to put a good team of people together. But if you can do that and be willing to get out there and do the work, man, you can have a very sustainable and very, very good career. for yourself.
Exactly.
I mean, I was talking to someone earlier today about people like Cy Smith and Eric Roberson and Carmen
mm-hmm.
Rogers. And
yeah.
Lord knows Avery Sunshine and
mm-hmm.
Fonte and Zoe. And, you know, you can get out there, man, and you can do it. I mean, Cy just got back from Russia. What the fuck? Are you serious? I mean, you can really do it, but you got to put the time and effort and energy in and surround yourself with people who believe in you.
Exactly.
You know, be careful about folks that just want to be around you because, you know, your name is hot and that kind of thing. But but surround yourself with people who believe in you. And
mm-hmm.
listen, you can fly it up the flagpole, man, and have make a nice life for yourself. You know.
Right. Because I had to learn that a lot. I was working, you know, with a lot of independent people. So it is a format and it's a lot of work. But it's like you have to go out there to present yourself to be able to sell yourself, you know.
Sure.
And then you being with a label, of course they're gonna push you out there to go out there to make yourself known. It's like a market. But as you as an independent artist, you can see where everything is coming in. Far as like
mm-hmm.
your sales, your money, and et cetera. So you can be able
mm-hmm.
to have it's kind of like a family. You have you have your own household, you have a family, so you got to take
sure.
care of your household. Yeah, that's what
mm-hmm.
pretty much independent, being with an independent label is. And I'm just glad that you, as one of these artists, because you've been doing this for a long time, that you're still doing what you love and also falling into the background of it as in songwriting also, you know?
Yeah.
And then also,
yeah.
I want to ask you, so what's next for you, actually? What's going to be next for you?
Well, we talked about the EP, the Trip to Soul Fantastic. The first single, of course, is I Want You, which is available at all streaming platforms and for free download at my website, which is kipperjones.com. As well, the remix will be available too, I think beginning tomorrow. Yay! Go ahead.
Any touring for...
Well, we don't have any dates yet in terms of touring for the EP that's coming yet. But we are certainly looking at, you know, doing some things and that kind of stuff. So stay tuned. If you go to the website, kipperjones.com, you'll hear about all of that kind of stuff when it comes up. You'll be able to hear that first. Now, that's on the music side. Now, also, you know, being an artist these days is an all-encompassing sort of situation. So you're talking about music. You're talking about merchandise. You're talking about, you know, a lot of different ancillary efforts that kind of go into shaping a career for an artist. So I'm doing a merchandise line called Lyric Brand, and that's Lyric Brand. And what that is it'll be a merchandise like apparel and notebooks, coffee mugs, earrings, greeting cards, all kind of things like that. But what it is it's lyrics to songs that I've written.
That is dope.
The first thing will be the it's called the Atlantic line, and I want to be down as it's a t-shirt, it's a journal, it's a coffee mug, it's a set of earrings for girls, it's a candle holder, phone covers, and you'll see all that stuff come up on the website very shortly, and so there'll be all tied into lyrics of songs that I've written for certain artists.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, so there's a lyric band line, and then there will be a podcast. The podcast is coming. The podcast is called Next Age, NextAge, and it's all about aging in this business. Going to the next part of your life and career. I mean, things that will help in terms of health and mental wellness, things about, you know, ingratiating yourself to the digital technology that exists now, all kinds of things like that. And I've been just so blessed to have interviewed Chucky Booker and Cy Smith.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And,
okay.
And a lot of the people that I get a chance to work with and figure out, you know, how they handle being in this business, how they cope with it, you know, things that they do, just to kind of help everybody else who's in the business. I have some more great interviews coming up with, like, Sinbad and a couple other people. And, yeah, and that, so that, so look out for Next Age, the podcast, as well. So there's a lot going on. And I start back in school in Berkeley in 2 weeks. I start my second year. I made Dean's List this last year. Yay! So looking forward to that.
Look at you. Look at you.
Hey, man, I'm trying to do it, bro. Yeah.
Man. So I really appreciate you for being a guest on my show to kick off the new year. And I'm just overwhelmed, you know, because, I know you personally. So, you know, so I really, you know, thank you for you taking your busy schedule and the time out to, you know, to talk to me, you know, about music and people to get to know who Kipper Jones is. So, you know, we're going to be talking more. So anything that you want to, you know, promote or get out there, come out here to me.
You better know it. Hey, listen, really quick, let me say, if you come to Atlanta and you get a chance to spend a couple of Fridays, every third Friday, my band here in Atlanta, which is Kipper Jones R&B Circus, that's R and the letter N-B Circus, performs at St. James Live every third Friday. And that's Kipper Jones R&B Circus featuring the Black Bettys, who are Sharice and Sharita Murphy. Not only are they tremendous vocalists on their own, but I'm also writing for them right now. And let me tell you something. Be on the lookout for the Bettys, because we got something for you. That's going to really be happening.
Oh, wow. You know I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, you know, all that stuff is going on with me, man, and I'm just grateful right now, and I'm so anxious to get in this year, in this new year, and get things going. I'm really excited, man. It just looks like it's going to be a fantastic year.
Oh, yeah, 2020 is looking good for you so far, what I'm seeing. So, it's all about perseverance right now these days, you know, and keep doing what you love. You know, the more that you in depth in what you love, the more seeking and searching, and you will be found by people appreciate you, definitely. You know, and I appreciate you, definitely.
Oh, man, I appreciate you, man. Two things before we go. I want to say this. Now, everybody, if you know how to reach me, it's real easy. It's just Uncle Kipper. You want to send me an email, UncleKipper@gmail.com. I'm Uncle Kipper at Twitter, at Instagram, or The Only Kipper at Instagram or Twitter. And please reach out if you want to book me, book the band, whatever, shoot me an email, and we can make things happen. And then the other thing is this. The world may look a little crazy right now because of stuff that's going on, but I'll tell you what. We can shift the atmosphere if we just show each other a little more kindness. And that's just a thing that we can do that don't cost nobody nothing, and it can just make a huge difference. Be the change that you want to see in the world. Just show each other a little more kindness. It don't hurt. It only helps. All right?
All right. Well, thank you for coming to be the first guest on my New Year's show. Yes. Wow. Thank you again. And everybody tune in every Sunday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Soul Craver's Radio. Thank you for listening. And good night.
Take care.